It's amazing how many years it has been and how quickly they go, isn't it? But I appreciate dear friends, and they have been friends and mentors, and I see her husband as a pastor, really. I can never call him by his first name. I always got to call him Pastor Wayne. So you might hear me call him Pastor Wayne instead of Pastor Van, but that's just old habits. So, but he's a dear counselor and friend and encourager and has been throughout our ministry life, and very, very thankful. I'm going to let Nancy handle anything testimony-wise that might relate further, because I know she's going to be doing testimony, and I've got a bit of a limited time. And so I'm going to get right into our lesson for the morning. And this is going to be a simple lesson in a way, but I trust and pray that it's something that will be an encouragement to your heart. It's what's been on my heart for the last few weeks. And so I just trust the Lord will use it to be an encouragement to you. When I was a little boy, my dear grandmother Kennedy tried to get me to memorize some scripture. And she wanted me to memorize the 23rd Psalm. And I suppose I wasn't coming along very well, so she offered to pay me a dollar to memorize the 23rd Psalm. And eventually, I did. I got it all said, and when I got it all finished reciting it, if you'd have asked me, what did that mean? I said, that meant a dollar. But you know, I look back at that, and I'm very thankful for a grandmother that directed me to that psalm. And more ways, I think, than I've realized, and recently, again, 63 years old now, beginning to appreciate all the more how important that psalm is, and not only the psalm, but the one that we come to know in that psalm. Recently, we've gotten to learn a little bit about a man named Lynn Wood. You may or may not know him. You might recall a incident that made big news media a few years ago. There was Nick Sandman. He and his schoolmates were in Washington, D.C., and there got to be a big hubbub about an Indian man, and he was blamed for ill-treating this man, treating him like a racist or whatever, when in fact it was quite the reverse. It was a setup. It was just a political maneuver. But Lynn Wood came to the legal defense of Nick Sandman, and he's a quite successful lawyer, attorney. He argued before the Supreme Court, and he won. And there, we don't even know the amount, but we presume probably millions and millions of dollars were won for this Nick Sandman in a payout of this thing. Well, turns out this Lynn Wood's also quite a patriot, and he's been in the news a little bit more. And being in the news, boy, is he getting attacked big time. You don't need to know all about this, but I just want you to understand the context of what's drawn my thoughts in the last few weeks back to Psalm 23 and what a blessing this has been. But I heard a lot of things about him through the media, and you think, okay, well, he used to be a Democrat. Well, he's probably not helping. This is just a setup, you know, all these things. And then you hear all these bad things about him. He's not such a good man and all this. But you start hearing some of him and reading of him, and you realize that, yes, he's had a rough life. He's been married 4 or 5 times. I'm not sure he's still married. But he got saved 2.5 years ago. And all of a sudden, a lot of things began to come into perspective a little bit. And I mean, this guy's getting blasted to the point that his former law school is wanting to remove his name off a building after he had been, you know, he gave $1 million or whatever, and they put his name on the building. Well, now they want to pull his name off the building. Dear friends that he has defended in their bad times in life have turned on him. His family has turned on him and claimed that he's got mental issues and he's out to lunch. And a lot of it is because they just don't understand that the man knows the Lord as his Savior. And he's been growing and he's been changing. And all of that to set the context for the fact that one of these things we were reading, and he was commenting to someone about how he's making it through this. He said, you know, Every single day, before I go to bed, I read or recite the 23rd Psalm and how much it has meant to him. And it got my mind thinking about it, and I thought, wow, I remember Grandma putting me on to the 23rd Psalm. And I've preached from it, and I've read it, and I've memorized it. And yet sometimes it gets tucked in the back. Well, and it's not so much the psalm, but we're going to look at the psalm today. But I'd like us to look at it in light of the Lord being our shepherd. And I wonder if in the trials and the difficulties you might be going through today, are you recognizing and are you leaning on the Lord as your shepherd? Psalm 23, I'll risk the embarrassment. Let's see if I can get it right. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leadeth me. I'm blowing it right off the bat. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemy. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I realize this morning as I'm speaking to this group of ladies, I really don't know anything about just where you're at. Some of you are younger, some of you are older. Some of you may be married, some of you may be wishing to be married. Some of you may have been married. Maybe you've been through a divorce, or maybe you're in the midst of a strained marriage right now. You may be in work or out of work. You may be having your bills paid or your bills not being paid. You may be in relationship troubles with your children or with other family members. But you're here today, and I think you're here today because in part you're seeking help from the Lord. Maybe just to walk a little closer with him. Maybe just to learn a bit more about him. Maybe to just find encouragement in a time that's discouraging. And maybe the people sitting next to you don't even know the discouragement you're going through right now. And it's my burden to encourage you today that if the Lord is not already truly your shepherd, that you'd make him your shepherd. Because he wants to be your shepherd. He created you. He's got a plan for you. He came to die in your place, to pay the penalty for all your sin. And he's done everything he could for you, and you need to just be trusting him. Maybe you know him as your Savior already, and there's just a need to be refocused again, as my heart has been lately, about the Lord being my shepherd. So let's go to that psalm, and I'd like to just give some background. I guess by my meager effort at reciting it, we have read it. For time's sake, we won't again right away, but let's have just a little overview about this whole idea of being a shepherd. Shepherd in society is really a rather humble position. It's not an elite position. It's not often what you aspire to become. It's not what you go to school to learn to do. It's a humble, often viewed as a lowly and dirty job. Purpose is to feed and to tend, to protect, to love, to care, and to rescue sheep. Look in the scripture, you find early on, Abel was a shepherd. Abraham was a shepherd. Isaac was a shepherd. Jacob and Jacob's sons were shepherds. Moses was a shepherd. Shepherd's day in Israel, he'd be up early in the morning. He would end up hiking to find a place for grazing, to find good grazing, and to find some place where there was still and calm water that the sheep could drink and not be scared by. He'd watch for the safety of the sheep. doing what he could to repel any attacks from animals. He'd rescue the wanderer, and he'd soothe the one that got injured. He'd return to the fold and bring them back to a fold for the evening. And as they would come in, he'd use his rod and he'd count the sheep. He'd cause them to rest. And then he'd go find any that might have somehow been lost during the day. Jacob referred to God as the shepherd of his people. David, who wrote this psalm, was the shepherd king. Isaiah 40 said that God will feed his flock just like a shepherd does. Cyrus was king of Syria, and yet God said he was a shepherd. God was using him even to accomplish his own pleasure with them. Ezekiel speaks about, as a shepherd seeks out his flock, so will I seek out my sheep. Jesus in the New Testament is known as the good shepherd, the great shepherd, and the chief shepherd. Some have noted that Psalm 22, 23, and 24 together seem to speak of the good shepherd in Psalm 22 who dies, the great shepherd, Psalm 23, who lives, and the chief shepherd, Psalm 24, who's coming for his sheep. Now, the background of this psalm, you realize this is probably one of the best known passages in all the Word of God. It's one of the most loved passages for good reason. Spurgeon called it the pearl of the Psalms. George Knight said it's a favorite of Jew, Eastern Orthodox, Western Protestant, and even the wistful agnostic. Somebody who doesn't even know that he knows that there's a God finds comfort from this psalm. It comes alive for us at weddings as well as funerals. And isn't that sort of strange? We were just at the funeral before we came up here. Calvin Kruger passed away. What a blessing. That young, 44 years of age, physical difficulties. God took him to the mission field of South Africa. And it was a pleasure to remember what I called one of the greatest among us. But this was a Psalm of David. And I always liked that because my name's David. Beloved. My mom loves me. If nobody else does. But God loves me. My wife loves me. And to be loved means a lot. And you know, son, there could be some here feeling very unloved. But my friend, you need to know that God loves you. That Jesus Christ loved you so much he died for you. Some think that this psalm was written in David's youth, and that would make sort of sense. I can just imagine him out there as a shepherd boy, and as he sang, wrote songs, sang them to worship the Lord at night as he'd gotten the sheep all tucked in and safe, and he worshiped the Lord, and so he might very well have written it when he's young. But, you know, many believe that it was written when he was in his old age. F.B. Meyer says that it bears the touch of the man who's learned good by knowing evil, and who amid of many varied experiences of human life has fully tested the shepherd graces of the Lord of whom he sings. And that makes sense to me. How could he know so fully, other than by faith, which we need to look forward in faith at the truth of this psalm, but it might very well that he wrote it older in life, and yes, it's true. Maybe it was a psalm that he thought of much when he was young, but put it to pen when he was older. Haddon Robinson wrote this. He said, David was a mature man when he wrote this, filled with his share of conflicting passions and confusing problems that confront any human being. Not only was he the heroic slayer of Goliath, the devoted friend of Jonathan, the lover of music, and an able king, but he was also a haggard fugitive, an adulterer, and a murderer. As a father, he had watched his baby die and had wept when his ungrateful son Absalom was slain as he led an armed rebellion against his father. David has not left us with only beautiful thoughts, but with an honest testimony about God learned while living life to the hilt. No doubt, he remembered back to the days of being a shepherd when he wrote this. The songs that were sung, the prayers that were lifted, the protection that God gave. No doubt he remembered the lion and the bear and how God helped him to protect his sheep and slay them. David had also proven this shepherd through the many trials and the many heartbreaks of life. The same Jehovah that had guided him through all the storms of life would undoubtedly walk by his side through the valley of death and into his glorious eternal presence. Some lessons from this psalm. First, we think about the need to claim the Lord, Jehovah, as my shepherd. Jehovah was that worshipful name of God that by which he was known. The Savior of Israel, the Creator of the earth. And imagine that the very Creator of this whole world that spoke the world into existence not only created you but knows you and cares about you and every need that you have. You know, all people are really like sheep. We learn from Isaiah 53:6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every one to his own way. A sheep is all the things that we don't want to be. And yet we are, at times at least, dumb, stubborn, defenseless, without a sense of direction, prone to wander, slow to recognize danger, nervous and uneasy, whether we admit it or want to show it or not, easily excitable and frightened. Left to themselves, sheep will perish. They have to have a shepherd. Jesus saw the multitudes as sheep without a shepherd in Matthew 9:36. His heart was moved with compassion. He cared about them because of that need. They fainted and they were scattered and because they didn't have a shepherd and he wanted to be that. He was that shepherd and they weren't accepting him as such. For David, this relationship was very personal. The Lord is my shepherd. The reason this psalm is so beloved is because this psalm is intensely personal. It's important to memorize this psalm, folk. It's good to have it committed to the mind, but is it something that we have made this a matter of heart, that we know the Lord as my shepherd? And you'd say, yes, I accepted him at such and such a date when I was young. But are you walking through the trials of your life constantly looking to him and sensing his very presence with you? Now, something else we notice in verses 2 and 3 is confident that this shepherd will meet our every need. He'll meet the physical needs, the green pastures, the still waters. You know, sheep refuse to drink from the running waters. It somehow agitates them, and that fear is there, and perhaps rightly so. If they got slipped up in the swiftly moving water, that could be the end of that sheep, unable to get up from the water. He provides the rest, to lie down protected and full. Their nervous and nature and their stupidity sometimes doesn't let them lie down. Sometimes we won't lie down at night. It was funny last night as I laid down, it just, the thought hit me, Lord, thank you for this place to stay. Thank you for this, the warmth. Thank you for this soft pillow that I can rest tonight. That's very meaningful. And the Lord provides these things for us. He's a loving shepherd. But a loving shepherd would sit down amongst a sheep that won't lie down. And particularly the lamb, sometimes take him up into his arms and settle them and make them to lie down so they could get the rest that they need. Did you ever have the Lord put you on your back so you could rest a little bit? You had so many things to do, but you finally had to rest because you just had to. The spiritual needs. He restores my soul. The idea of that word restore is to return or turn back. Some think that it's spiritual refreshment, like it's just nice to go get refreshed, but this really has to do with getting you back after having wandered. Do you ever wander? You know, we'd like to think you're so spiritual and walking what we never wander. We never even think about wandering. Well, that's not honest. If we're all made of the same flesh. We are prone to wander. Our flesh would bend us and take us off the wrong way. And it's the Lord that restores our soul. And what a blessing it is when we're brought back to that. Sometimes willful sheep have to have a leg broken and splinted. Sometimes they'll put a weight, the shepherd would put a weight on the leg of a sheep just so the sheep won't wander off. It's too much trouble. The pregnant ewes, especially if they become prone, if they are cast, they're in grave danger. If they get tipped over and they're on their back, they can't get up. And the shepherd comes to get them up. The shepherd leads in the righteous paths, the trails that have been flattened and smooth, the paths that are laid by the command of God's word. And he does all this for his reputation, his name's sake. He's a shepherd, and he's the Lord Yahweh. And he does what's right, and he cares more than anyone could ever care for us. His character and his supreme love is at stake. Robert Ketchum said this, there's something about this old sinful heart of mine that makes it necessary to have somebody with a capital S up in heaven to keep it right. Every day and every hour and every moment I have to have someone living for me and in me who can crucify every unholy thought, every unholy act, and keep me in a place of usableness before a holy God. And that is exactly what we see in him, or him doing in Psalm 23. That was written by a great preacher. But he's just being open about his own proneness. Don't be afraid to be honest about the fact you're human and that you're prone to wander. But we've got a wonderful Savior and a wonderful shepherd. He was conscious, in verses 4 and 5, of his presence and his protection. In the darkest trials, the valley of the shadow of death, the valley here is not some peaceful green pasture between two distant mountains. The valley spoken of here in the Old Testament valley time was more of a ravine and a gorge. It was a narrow, dark, damp place, usually encased by steep mountains. It was a place in which it was inescapable when you're in there. You can't just run away from things. You've got to face them. And you realize the darkest times in life, the Lord's with us in those times. Severe illness, sudden attack on health, serious accident, deadly weather conditions, violent criminal attacks even, war, terrorist attack, famine, extreme poverty. David testified he was not afraid to walk through those valleys. Why? Because the Lord was with him. And because his rod, and strange as it is, the rod and the staff comforted him. That rod was used to fight off the wild animals or the thieves. It was used to count the sheep as they would come in. But somehow that rod, just seeing it there on the waist of the shepherd, comforted the sheep, comforted David. The staff, usually curved, a longer wooden staff, but it was used to pull a sheep up out of a hole or a ravine. It was used at times to nudge the sheep when he started to stray. But the reminder of that staff, the Lord's not going to let him get out of the way. Facing strongest enemies, the variety of enemies David faced, foreign kings that came after him, Saul, the one that he served and ought to rightly honor, but turned on him because he was jealous of him, fearful of him, his own rebellious son. Wow. David's had a lot of heartaches. But the Lord, even in those places, spreads a table right in the presence of the enemy. We often want to be hidden from the enemy, out of sight. But God sometimes lets us stay right there, but he prepares the table for us right there. He's meeting our needs in the midst of all of that. But he anoints with oil, symbol perhaps of the Holy Spirit, the oil applied to an injured sheep, soothing and healing wounds and repelling insects as they graze. But he was comforted in life and in death. Verse 6, surely, certainly, goodness, grace, that which we don't deserve, and mercy, not given what we really do deserve. Francis Thomas said, God is the hound of heaven. He relentlessly chases us down with his grace and his goodness through life. David experienced enough of life to know God was good all the time. Battles and false accusations, death of a child, even horrific sin that he was guilty of, adultery and murder. And yet, God was his shepherd, brought him back when he wandered, and amazing in our minds, yet used him in spite of his sin. There's hope for us because the Lord is my shepherd. And he knew there'd be goodness in eternity, eternal life, to dwell in the prepared house of the Lord, to dwell in the Lord's presence forever. Stories told of a Welsh shepherd boy. Two pastors in Wales had one day taken a holiday, a day off, and gone out hiking together just for some refreshment and fellowship. And along the way, up into the mountains, they ran into a shepherd boy. And say they took the opportunity to witness to him, tell him about the 23rd Psalm. And it said that about a year later, they decided to go hiking again, and they ended up in the same area. They stopped in a home and asked if they could get some milk for refreshment. The woman of the house was happy to do so, and so she was serving them. And they'd gotten out, remembering a year ago, a picture that they had taken of themselves with this shepherd boy. And she noticed it, and she said, "That was my son. He died last winter up in the mountains tending to the sheep. Big storm came up. When they finally found him, it was rather strange. He was clinging to his fourth finger on his hand." And those pastors were blessed to tell her that we taught him about the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my. And they said every time you get to that word, pause a moment and remember that the Lord is my shepherd. And that was how he was found. They trust and hope that he had trusted the Lord as his Savior, and that that might have been some indication that he had done so. Ladies, I wonder, are you trusting the Lord as your personal Savior? Do you know him? If not, this would be the most wonderful day with friends around you, somebody to take you aside and show you how you could personally know Jesus Christ as your shepherd, as your Savior. And maybe you know him already as your Savior. But I wonder, are we walking with him as our shepherd, seeing him, sensing his presence by us through whatever trials we may be facing? Part of the burden on my heart with this, watching our country these days, and many of the things I read, many of the things I sense, I've prayed that the Lord would turn things around like he did with Haman. But at the same time I've prayed that, I realize I have to be willing to accept that God might be taking us into a time like Nebuchadnezzar, where we as God's people have to learn to stand in the midst of others ruling over us. And I don't mean to be extra dramatic, but quite frankly, I think we've been taken over by an enemy. There's risk of us suffering persecution that we could have never imagined, other than the fact we've read about it around the world in the days ahead. But you know what we need to remember? If God's got that for us, He's not going to leave us. And we need to learn in a deeper way, the Lord is my shepherd. And trust Him and watch Him and walk with Him through whatever trials that we might face in this life. And so I pray that the Lord might encourage your heart, and I gather you sometimes discuss these lessons. I've got to slip away to be with the college kids next. So maybe as you discuss that, you can encourage one another about the Lord being my shepherd. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for the time to be with these ladies today. I trust your word to do what you've sent it forth to do today. You know the needs of each and every one. I pray that you would help this psalm today to become especially personal to each of these ladies. And I pray that however they need to draw unto thee, that you would do so with them. And if there'd be one that needs to trust you as Savior, that today would be that day they'd trust you. But for each of us, Lord, that we would purpose that we're going to remember you and think of you and recognize that you are right with us through each trial, encourage our hearts, and might we be a testimony for thee in the midst of them all. We'll thank and praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.